Coming up in this episode,
tending your fields means having a vision of where you want to go and then taking the action today that's going to get me to where I want to go. When you blame someone else, you give up your power. You give your power to them. You say, my wife made me angry. What are you saying? You're saying you're giving your wife the power to dictate your emotions. We don't believe in ourselves. We underestimate, we undervalue and underrate ourselves. And we need to really work on that. Nothing great was achieved without overcoming fear. The comfort zone is a place where hopes and dreams and excellence go to die. You mean a lot to the people in your lives, maybe a lot more than what you actually think you mean. And because you mean a lot and because you're so important, you need to take care of yourself. Craig Wilkinson, so glad to come to you again today with the show Dangerous But Good. We've actually been talking to a lot of people, and we're going to be changing the name of the program from Dangerous But Good to Force for Good. Because really what we're talking about is how can you and I be a powerful force for good? How we can become the most competent together, the most effective, the most influential, the most powerful individuals we can be, and then use that for good. And there are two facets to that. One is, how do we grow our power? And remember, we talked about power and the definition of power, the definition of strength, the definition of force in this context is your ability to impact the lives of other people, your ability to impact the world. And that's the first phase, developing and growing your power, your ability to influence and impact people in the world. And the second part is, okay, you've got the power now, you're growing the power, you're a force. How can you make that a force for good? How can you make sure that you impact the world in a powerfully positive way? And that's what this show is all about, how to become more powerful and how to use that power only for good. I want to touch on a topic today, which is for me a very important one. I wrote some material, developed a course, and it's going to be going into a book, which will be coming out soon. I'll tell you more about that. But it's called The Six-Pack of Masculine Virtues. And one of the six virtues, these are virtues that make men powerful forces for good, but they apply to humanity too. Men and women adopting these six virtues will become a force for good. And one of the virtues is, I call it tending your fields, tending your fields. You see, every one of us has a field. A field is your world. It's everything in your world that you are responsible for, that you have an impact and an influence over. And for me, there are four things in every one of our worlds. The first thing is yourself, you, me. Using the agricultural example, you've got a field, a field or a farm. In that farm are some cows and some sorghum and some crops. That farmer who tends the fields has to be in good health, in good spirits, have good motivation. And you and I who have fields, and the fields consist of all the people in our lives, all the roles and responsibilities and duties and all the things that we have in our lives. Number one responsibility is to take care of ourselves, because you matter. Your life matters. You mean a lot to the people in your lives, maybe a lot more than what you actually think you mean. And because you mean a lot and because you're so important, you need to take care of yourself. As a father, you're the most important man in your children's lives. As a mother, you're the most important woman in your children's lives. You're important to your partner, your spouse. You're important to your community, your country, your friendship group, the organization for which you work. You are important. You have a purpose. And because of that, because you matter, because you're important, number one thing you need to tend to is you, your physical health, mental health, spiritual health. The second thing in your field is the people, are the people in your life, your children, your spouse, the people you encounter on a daily basis. And we need to tend to them. We need to make sure that they are better off because we're in their lives. Is my wife a better woman because I'm her husband? Is my husband a better man because I'm his wife? Are my children better because I am their father, their mother? Is my community, my organization, better because of me, because I'm in it? And so tending your fields mean looking after yourself, but number two, looking after the people in your lives, even those people who are not directly related to you. The car guard. How does a car guard feel in your presence? How does a janitor in your building feel? How do your colleagues that you work with, how do you make them feel? Do you uplift them with your words and your actions and your attitude, or do you bring them down? So number two in your field are the people in your field. Number three are the things. The things. Are you a good steward of all the things in your life? One preacher once said, he said, you can tell the state of a man's soul by the by the state of his car, the mess it's in, you know, and I don't strictly believe that. But we all have things. We have things that we are responsible, things that we are custodians over, our home, our house, our bedroom, our bed. Is it made? Is it a mess? Our clothing, the cell phone, our vehicle. You know, are we our finances? Are we good stewards and caretakers of the things in our lives? And finally, what's also in our field are our roles and responsibilities, our duties. Every one of us has many of those. You're a citizen. You're a brother or a sister. You're a son or a daughter. You're a mother or a father. You're a colleague. These are all roles and responsibilities. You might be a student. You might be a leader. How well are you taking care of the responsibilities and the roles and the duties in your life? Absolutely crucial. So we all have a field. And we need to tend that field, make sure that we care for, nurture, take care of in a very powerfully beautiful way every single thing in our field, yourself, the people, the things, and your roles and responsibilities. And I want to jump into what are the things that keep us from tending our fields? What are the things that keep us from being good stewards, being good human beings, and making sure that our fields are well cared for? And just a quick note before I do that. There's a beautiful principle in life is that if you're faithful with the small things, you'll be trusted with the big things. The more you take care of what you have, chances are it's going to grow. A farmer who has a small field and he looks after it well and he has some cows and whatever and he grows and he really looks after it, chances are he's going to make some money and a profit and he's going to be able to buy the field next door. He's going to grow. And you and I, as we take care of ourselves and the people in our lives and our roles and we're good custodians of our finances, these are going to grow. These are going to grow and we want to grow. We want to become that powerful force for good. The more powerful we are, the more influential we are, the more resources we have, the more good we can do. Also, the more bad we can do. And that's a whole other topic. But we're going to be forces for good. Now, what keeps us from tending our fields? Number one is blaming. When you blame someone else, you give up your power. You give your power to them. You say, my wife made me angry. What are you saying? You're saying you're giving your wife the power to dictate your emotions. If you say, I'm blaming the past, what are you saying? You're saying, you know, I'm a victim of something that I cannot control. I'm a victim. I'm useless. I'm actually disempowered because it's somebody else's fault that I am where I am. You're driving to work and a car cuts in front of you and you know, you have to swerve off the road and you get a flat tire. I mean, an idiot did something which really affected your life. But if you go through your day blaming that person, resenting, what are you doing? You're giving up your power. You're allowing someone else to dictate your emotional state. If we grew up, none of us grew up in a perfect environment. Some were very privileged and we're fortunate. Grew up in a society which blessed them. Grew up in a family where there was a mother and a father that really, I mean, that's an absolute privilege. Others grew up without a father. Others grew up without a mother. Others grew up in an abusive situation. Others went through abuse. Others grew up in a society which did not respect them as individuals in the society. I mean, all these things happen. And the reality is there comes a point in time where one needs to become a victor. If I was abused as a youngster, I can allow that to destroy the rest of my life. Or I can get to a point where I say, it happened. It was bad. It wasn't my fault. It was terrible. It's not okay what happened. But I need to get to a point where I stop blaming, because as long as I'm blaming, I'm disempowering myself. As long as I'm blaming, I'm a victim to something that happened to me that wasn't my fault. And even though it wasn't my fault, I have to let it go, because otherwise I become a victim to it. So blaming is a terrible thing. Blaming is a terribly disempowering thing. It paralyzes. It neutralizes. It disempowers me to the point where I cannot be a force, never mind a force for good. The second thing that disempowers, that stops people from tending to their fields, is complaining. Complaining. We call them Karens, the Karens of the world. Those people are always finding something to complain about, something to moan about, something to bitch and about. And the more we complain, the less we're doing anything about it. It's like a car that's stuck in some slippery soil and in some mud. It's revving like crazy, revving. The wheels are, it's just not going anywhere. You know, and that's what complaining does. Makes a lot of noise, and it's very similar to blaming. But as long as I'm complaining, I'm not going anywhere. Complaining needs to be translated into finding solutions. In our organization, you know, when someone comes to me with a complaint, I say, go away and come back with a solution. You know, fine to complain. Fine. You know, highlight the problem. Point out the issue, but come with a solution. If you're just standing there telling me the problem, you're no good to anybody, no good to yourself, no good to the organization, no good to each other. Don't complain. Find solutions. By all means, identify the problem, but come with a solution so that you can move ahead and break out of that. So complaining is another very disempowering attitude that we often have. The third one is a lack of purpose. People have no purpose, no vision for where they want to go. No idea of the ultimate destination of what they want to do. They end up just treading ground, you know, treading water, just marking time. In the old film, the Alice of Wonderland film, there's a scene where an individual arrives at a fork in the road, and there's someone standing there, and he says to the person, "Which road should I take?" And the person says, "Well, where do you want to go?" And he answers, "Well, I don't really know." And then the answer to him was, well, then it doesn't matter which road you take. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what your vision is, what you want to achieve in life and who you want to be, it doesn't matter what road you take. You know, if you're an athlete, if you're a soccer player or a tennis player or a runner or any kind of athlete, and you want to achieve a high level in your sport, you know where you want to go. You know, the road you take is determined by where you want to go. If someone comes to you and offers you a beer or a piece of cake and you're in training, it's very easy. You say, no, I can't because I know where I want to go. If you're studying and you want to achieve that degree or whatever it is that you want to achieve, and you know you've got to study on a Saturday night and someone comes, hey, dude, let's go party. You know, it's easy. You're not going to party. You don't have to study. But if you don't have anywhere that you're wanting to go, if you don't know what you want to achieve, anything goes. You can be led astray by any suggestion, by any wind that blows along. You're gonna follow that. And so tending your fields means having a vision of where you want to go and then taking the action today that's going to get me to where I want to go. Absolutely crucial. Have a vision. Have a purpose. Number four, the thing that paralyzes is fear. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear is paralyzing. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of messing up, even fear of success. Some people have a fear of success. You know, when we succeed out of a group and we start to achieve more than our peers, often our peers get jealous. They want to pull us down. And so there's a fear of standing out. There's a fear of failure. Mediocrity loves companions. It loves company. If you're studying hard for an exam and you're going somewhere and your friend's also in the same course, but he wants to go and party. And you say, no, I'm not going to party. And he goes, he's jealous. He wants to bring you into his lack of purpose, into his mediocrity. And so it's so crucial that we realize what we fear and confront those fears. Someone said it beautifully. He said, you know, everything worth achieving is on the other side of fear. The other side of fear. There's an interesting concept called the lonely supermodel. And it's a fascinating concept because often very attractive people are alone. And what is the reason? It's because people are scared to approach them, scared to ask them out. We need to overcome our fears. We need to say, well, you know, I'm feeling the fear. And courage is not having fear. Courage is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And so we need to be able to take calculated risks. We need to be able to overcome our fear. When I first started doing public speaking, I was petrified, man, petrified. Every time I got up on that stage, you know, but I had to overcome it. And eventually it became less and less of an issue. Not that I'm not without fear now, but if I hadn't done that, and nothing great was achieved without overcoming fear. Nothing great's ever achieved in your comfort zone. Nothing. The comfort zone is a place where hopes and dreams and excellence go to die, go to fade. That's the comfort zone. We need to break out of that comfort zone. And breaking out of the comfort zone means overcoming fear, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So fear is a killer. Fear is a paralyzer. We need to overcome it. One of the top U.S. presidents once said that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear is the thing that kills us, not the thing that we actually fear. Someone once also called fear as false expectations appearing real. We blow up in our head. You know, if I get up on that stage and do the talk, I'm going to collapse and fall in a heap. People are going to laugh at me. These are false expectations we make real in our head. Someone also said a beautiful thing. He said, throughout my life, I've experienced much, much, much pain. Some of it I've actually experienced in reality. Most of it he expected in his mind. It didn't actually happen because he feared it and therefore didn't do it. So feel the fear and do it anyway. Break out of the comfort zone. The comfort zone is a killer to dreams and hopes and visions and achievements. Number five is laziness. Laziness, oftentimes we just don't achieve. We don't do the things we could do. We don't take care of what we could because we're just pure damn lazy. Lazy. We just don't get up. We don't do it. We don't make it happen. Laziness is a killer. There's a saying that says no pain, no gain without pain. And in many ways, it's true. You have to choose between two pains, the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret later. And I tell you what, the pain of regret's far greater than the pain of discipline. Discipline is a beautiful thing. Discipline is a gift. Discipline means breaking out of laziness, crushing the inertia, getting up on time, getting up and doing it. And it's so easy to do stuff. If you think about taking care of yourself, your body, we often make excuses. I can't afford a gym, or it's too cold. Just get down in your bedroom and do some press ups, do some sit ups. Find a tree and do some chin-ups. You don't need equipment. You don't need much time. You just simply need to stop being lazy and bloody well do it. That's what life's all about. We all have exactly the same number of hours in a day, 24 hours, every one of us, whether you are Elon Musk or whether you are, no matter who you are, you've got 24 hours. What are you going to do with the 24 hours? Are you going to stop being lazy and start doing the things that matter? Procrastination is a killer. We procrastinate, Busyness doesn't mean that you're not being lazy. You can be busy doing the things you shouldn't be doing, busy playing games, busy watching videos, busy calling friends, busy doing all kinds of stuff. It doesn't mean you're not lazy. Laziness, you can be still busy, but you're not doing the things you know you need to do. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not taking care of the people in your life. Someone once said to me, he said, Craig, when is the best time to tell your wife that you love her? I said, I don't know when. And he said, before somebody else does, before someone else. Be the one who tells your wife daily, I love her. Your son, I love her. Who makes the phone call, who does the things that are going to enhance your life, that are going to enable you to tend your fields. Don't be lazy. Lazy is a killer. You don't need to be lazy. You were made for so much more than laziness. You were made to get out there and achieve great things, but you can only do it by cutting the inertia and getting going and doing it. Do not be lazy. Be active and be actively engaged in the things that are producing results. You can go to gym and be lazy. I've seen people in the gym on a exercise bicycle and they're reading a magazine and they're not even sweating. They're lazy. They're at the gym, but they're lazy. They're not. Then you see someone who's sweating, pushing, pumping, bleeding, because that's what we need to do, cut the laziness. Number six, the things that keep us from tending our fields, is a lack of self-worth. We don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that we're worthy of that job or worthy of that woman or that guy or that partner. We don't believe in ourselves. We underestimate, we undervalue and underrate ourselves. And we need to really work on that. The three, I've talked about this in previous podcasts, the three deep questions on the heart of every human being is a deep sense of I want to belong, I want an identity, and I want to be legitimate, the real thing. And here's the truth. You are legitimate. You have an identity that's unique to you, and you belong. There's a place where you belong, where you're destined and designed to make a difference. And we need to work on ourselves to the point where we know, I'm the real deal, man. Who I am is real. One of the reasons people feel fear public speaking the most, more than almost anything else, is a sense of I'm illegitimate. When I get up there, I've got nothing to say of value. People will laugh at me. People fear that if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't respect me, like me, admire me. So I've got to put on a face, put on an act, and we hide behind this facade. But really, you are the real deal. You are absolutely unique. You are invaluable. You matter. Your life matters. You've got a unique purpose, and we need to really believe this and embrace this so that we can break out of laziness, mediocrity, not performing at our best, and begin to really honor our maker and bless the people in our lives by being everything that we were made to be. Number seven is a lack of knowledge. When we grew up who we grow up with and what we're surrounded by when we grow up often has a huge impact on our expectations. If we grow up in a society of mediocrity, if we grow up in a society where there's tremendous poverty, we tend to take our cues from that. But what we need to do is we need to expand our horizons and our mind beyond what's just next to us. I spoke once to a pool player, a guy who played pool, who was absolutely phenomenal. I played against him and he just destroyed me. You know, he sunk the balls within seconds. And I said to him, "Oh, that's amazing. You know, I mean, you are really good." And he said a fascinating thing to me. He said, "You know, I'm very good, but I'm not top." He said, "I grew up surrounded by pool players that were good, but they weren't the best. And I excelled amongst them, but I didn't benchmark myself against the very top players." And he said, "Because of that, I never achieved the greatest that I could be." Now, when we surround ourselves with mediocrity, when we think we're good only because we're better than the guy next door, as opposed to looking beyond our community, beyond even our country sometimes, beyond our peer group, to what are the benchmarks of the best, that's when we start setting our sights higher. That's when we start gaining the knowledge of what really is good, as opposed to what's just okay and just mediocre. And so we're living in a world where fortunately there's no excuse for ignorance. We have access at our fingertips to the most phenomenal broad base of knowledge and information and teachers and mentors and podcast, you name it. And so what we need to do is expand our knowledge. Say to ourselves, you know, I can do this well, but you know, there's someone who can do it so much better. What are they doing? Let's expand our knowledge base so that we can. There's no excuse to be a bad father. There's no excuse to be a bad mother. No excuse to be a bad anything, because there's so much information available to us, teaching us how to be excellent. And one of the things we need to do is stop focusing so much on entertainment and focus more on education, educating ourselves. It's fine to watch Netflix series, et cetera, but how about some documentaries? How about some YouTube clips that teach us new skills and growing and developing those skills? So a lack of knowledge is no excuse. Expand your horizons, grow your mind, grow your knowledge. Finally, a real killer of excellence, of being a force for good, of tending your fields, is this a sense of entitlement. And I want to play a video which is quite profound, which talks about this.
I don't know if you've heard of the book Toxic Charity by Robert Lepton, but he talks about five steps to dependency. If you give something to somebody once, they'll appreciate it. If you give the same thing to that person again, they'll anticipate that you're going to do it a third time. If you give it a third time, they're going to have an expectation that you'll do it a fourth. If you give it a fourth time, they'll feel entitled to it, and a fifth time, they'll be dependent on you for it. It's appreciation, anticipation, expectation, entitlement, and dependency. I have seen that downward track for far too many people. And after more than 20 years of working among the poor, and now working with leaders across the nation in various cities who are also fighting poverty, I'm convinced that we are in a national crisis of dependency.
Profound. It talks about entitlement and dependency, and it's fascinating. You know, you give someone something once, they appreciate it. Next, they anticipate it. Next, they expect it. You know, next, they move towards demanding it, and to a point where they're actually relying on you for it. And I've seen this in my own life a lot. We live in a nation, South Africa, which tragically, and I mean, this is such an indictment on our government, where the gap between the rich and the poor has grown over the years. We're now the most unequal society in the world, 30 years after democracy. It's just a shocking statistic. And we're living in a society with a lot of poor people. And one of the things our government, under the guise of doing something good and right, and of course there's merit in social grants, etc. I mean, helping people who are unable to help themselves is a beautiful thing to do. But the problem is it doesn't create a nation of entrepreneurs, a nation of people who make it happen. It creates a nation of dependents. There are many people that all of us in this nation who have the means to, people that we help. And I've seen this time and time and time again. You help someone once, and it's such a joy to give. I mean, that's one of the things of being a force for good. It's far more blessed to give than receive. And I love giving. I love giving, and I just love seeing the look of appreciation and gratitude and being able to help someone who needs it. And yet it can create such a cycle, a negative cycle. You give it once, appreciation. You give it one, the second time, begin to anticipate it, begin to expect it. And it eventually leads to completely disempowering that person because they now depend on you to give them. And we need to create a society in which we kill entitlement. You see, if I live a life where I think the only way for me to make it is if someone to give it to me, I'm completely disempowered. I don't realize that I have the power to make it happen. Now, of course, we need to work very hard to give people equal opportunity, to educate people, to inspire people, to enable people to have access to healthcare. I mean, these things are absolutely paramount to any good society, but we also need to work very hard at instead of giving men fish to eat, we need to give them rods and teach them how to fish. Because once you do that, you empower people. And if we grow up with a sense of entitlement, and I want to show another video clip. We've shown this one before. It's hilarious. It's about a young boy. Well, he's not so young anymore. He should be out and about and making his own living. And it's his father who's actually fed up with him. Let's watch this video. It's pretty hilarious.
Babe, why are you doing? What are you doing? Mow him over?
Yeah, I'm
going to
mow him over. That way you get out of your room for a little while. Maybe you'll get a job. You've been out of school 3 months now.
Amy, it's going to be my job. I do it. I'm really good at it. Good at it.
I don't care. You got to get a job.
What is this achieve?
What does this achieve? What does that achieve?
What is this gonna do? Mowing my games up?
Maybe you'll quit playing for a while, get a job, pay some of your bills.
I'm never gonna quit playing. He's having it.
Oh, it's okay. GameStop was just like starting to revamp there.
You want your fucking YouTube videos?
What a tragic video. You know, here's this kid who's probably in his early 20s. His father's paid for everything his whole life. He's gone to university. He's got student loans. He's not paying rent, etc. And all he wants to do is sit and game. And the father eventually has enough and he puts all his games out on the lawn and he rides over them with a lawnmower. I mean, that's that kid exemplifies everything we've talked about. He's blaming. He's lazy. He's entitled. He's not taking responsibility. He's not tending his fields. He's just not taking care of anything that he needs to take care of. And that's the thing we need to move away from. We need to become powerful forces for good, but we can only do that if we tend our fields, look after ourselves, become the best we can possibly be, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every other way. Develop our emotional intelligence. Become that. Number two, look after the people in our lives. Let everyone around us feel excellent because we're in their lives, better because be good stewards of everything we own, everything we have custodian over. And finally, fulfill our roles and responsibilities with excellence. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. We have the power to do this. And one of the key things to being a force for good, tend your fields, man. Tend your fields. Your life and the life of those around you will be so much better if you just do that. Step up and do it. Thank you for tuning in. Force for good, dangerous but good. That's who you are. That's who you're made to be.